Ding da da ding da ding da 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 ding da 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 pa ra pa la bam ba pa ra pa la la bam ba se ne se ti una poca di grazia una poca di grazia parami bay arriba ay arriba po ti sere soy marinero. Yo no soy marinero, soy capitán. Bamba, bamba. Bamba, bamba. Bamba, la bamba. Ah, there you are. Good morning. See none of that coronavirus stuff this morning. Get your spouse up, get your kids up, get your dogs up, get your pets up, get whatever it may be, and have a little dance around. It's sunny. Sing along a Saturday. Let's get a little bit of the flipping misery out of it and have a good old little jig about. Get you all feeling good. You know you want to. You're all smiling now, so you've all got a little smile on your face. You all think I'm stark staring mad, but you've all got a little smile on your face. Right, what have we got today? Lots of things to cover today. Where should we start? I think irrespective of your political views, people my undertones through the Brexit campaign and the election campaign of certain people, and I am, as I keep saying, no Boris fan at all. But I think celebrating that somebody's got this virus, and when you think that person has got a pregnant wife, I find it absolutely repugnant. I find it absolutely disgusting. Many people don't like Boris. Had a chance to get rid of him. Didn't vote for him. That was the chance. Unfortunately, the opposition of the day over that period, and as much as people want to jump up and say how great they are, they were absolutely fucking negligent and useless at their job, and that's why he's got such a majority of where he is. And then to turn around and say he's done this, done that, and jumping up and down because he's got coronavirus, I find it repulsive. Don't like the man, we want rid of him, vote him out. And the only way you vote him out is by having a decent opposition to vote for. That is the facts of it. I know people don't like it, but that is the absolute facts of it. That is the only way he's going. And jumping up and down because he's got an illness and other members of his team have, I just find it absolutely repugnant. It's repulsive. Think about it. Think about what you're actually doing. Think if that was somebody in your family. This guy's got parents, brothers, sisters, whatever you think of him, I just think it's absolutely disgraceful. I really do. I find it. I just, every day I keep saying it, the human race stoops to new levels. I cannot bear Donald Trump, but I would not be jumping up and down in the street if they said on the news tonight Donald Trump's got the coronavirus. I think the man is an absolute bellend. But you don't wish illness on anybody. I find it. I mean, I can't even comprehend what mind you've got to do that. And all I'd say is look around you at your family. You've got wives, kids, husbands, brothers, sisters. And think if that was you. And think if you think that's normal. Because it fucking ain't. There's something wrong with you. Actually, I had a long old read this morning. I was up early this morning. A long old read on this virus and the information. And I've always said it's easy to be an armchair critic over the last couple of weeks since this started, and the lack of preparation. And I think we all think that they knew more than they did and could have done more. You see this morning in Melbourne, people queuing up for beaches. I don't understand people, because you look and think, well, this has happened in Italy. It's happened in the UK last week. It's on the news about people going out. Why don't we just stay and it won't happen here? And then you've got cars queuing up to get into beaches at Melbourne. But when you start looking into Nerve Tag and Sage and the meetings and the equivalent in US, there was a thread posted about the minutes then, so I started digging deeper, trying to find some US minutes on these meetings that people... And the facts are very clear and easy to find, that the Americans did know a lot more than we did in January. And I think if you'd had, again, think whatever of him, but if you'd had Obama in place... with his pandemic task force as such, they would have reacted quicker, and the rest of the world would have probably taken their lead from that. Certainly the Western world, I'm almost certain we would. I mean, you can never prove these things, But Trump got rid of that. But the UK committees were struggling to actually determine the danger. Even the World Health Organization were playing down the transmission of this in January. There was 5 or 6 days where no new cases were reported in China. The never really trusted the information coming out of China, and it was taken that it wasn't as contagious as it obviously is. So the whole thing was played down a bit. It seems that certainly in the UK it was just disinformation and poor reporting from WHO and China to actually get to the seriousness of it, to put more preparation in place. So while we're all jumping down, they should have had this, they should have had that. Committees were involved in this, but you're going on information, trying to collate it from different places. That's why I say it's easy to be an armchair critic. There will be a time when this all gets looked into, and there'll be inquiries, congressional inquiries. I'm sure there'll probably be parliamentary inquiries here, and it will all be looked into. I just do not think now is the time. But you know, rather than being the sort of, you've got Twitter doctors and your Twitter GPs, Twitter experts, Facebook expert. I mean, I'm not on Facebook, but my boy tells me some of the bits on there. Actually, as I've said with everything, I said it with Brexit, I said it with the election. Actually, get off your arse and do a bit of work and scout around, particularly as you've all got time now. Everything is not whiter than white. The one thing that is unforgivable on the American side is the dissolution of that pandemic task force, because even in 2011 they were written to, basically told that this could happen, in particular with respiratory diseases. And that really was what Obama built that pandemic task force and scaled things up around. And to kick all that down the road out the door just seems absolute madness. Everything I've read from the American side was sort of not if but when, that this is coming down the road. And whilst, you know, we'll now, everything's reactive, isn't it? We'll set ourselves up now and everything will be... if it happens again. But that's not saving the people who are dying all over, you know. I mean, Italy, it's like two jumbo jets dropping out the sky every day at the minute. That's how horrendous it is. You know, and people like Andrew Neil saying, oh, it's not, is it people with or for? It doesn't matter at the minute, does it? Again, with the virus or from the virus, people are dying and more people are being hospitalised, so this isn't normal. It's quite clear that it's not normal, so trying to make out that it's and play it down is just ridiculous in my eyes, and doesn't help, because then people just, oh, it's only the flu, and think they can go out. I think it's very, very slack behaviour from people treating it like that. Anyway, just opinions, my opinions, but I've done a good old read on it, which is what I like to do. There are very few more important things going on in the world at the minute. Right, what should we do? Oh, we'll do the book of the day. Book of the day, we're going back to fiction today. We've, most of us listening to this, have grown up in the world of James Bond. And amazing when I speak to people, how few people have read the books. And the original book, Casino Royale, is the book of the day. It is the first Bond book written by Ian Fleming, 1953. All of the books I really enjoyed. I've read all of them. And I think if you read one, it will lead into the next, Live and Let Die, next then, Moonraker, Diamonds Are Forever, Russia We Love. So those of us who still cherish the older movies will obviously recognise those, but the books are much different to the movies, and it's just a really, really good book. Well, they all are, but it's the starting point is Casino Royale, written in 1953. So if you're a Bond fan and haven't read the books, shame on you. They're all on Amazon or whatever it is. So get yourself a bit of fiction if you want it. Casino Royale is the book of the day. Ian Fleming, the first James Bond novel. Right, what else? Talking about the virus. We're all stuck at home. We had a little debate yesterday. Sam made some bacon rolls yesterday morning for a sort of 11sies, and my boys put in tomato ketchup all over it. Now, you can have your own opinions, but you can't have your own facts. But this is a fact. ketchup is not for breakfast items. Fish fingers and chips is the only meal that you put ketchup on. That is it. Breakfast, if you're going to have, you shouldn't really have any sauce on a breakfast because you've got your egg yolk, it's its own sauce. But if you're going to put a bit of sauce on your bacon or your sausages, brown sauce, not just any old brown sauce, HP. Bacon roll, brown sauce, bacon and sausage roll, brown sauce. You can add a bit of English mustard to that one. Ham, egg and chips, brown sauce. Fish and chips, no sauce at all. Nothing at all. Salt and vinegar, and that is it. None of this flipping curry sauce and this gravy that them northerners do. None of that. And ketchup, the only sauce that ketchup, fish fingers and chips, that's the only permissible meal that you can put it on. And as I say, not an opinion, facts. Get yourself HP. Let's get off this flipping red sauce brigade. Talking of food, I'm cooking. I'm going to do the recipe of the day in a minute. I'm cooking today, and you're all going to laugh at this if you've listened regularly. I'm cooking it tomorrow. I'm preparing today. Cooking tomorrow. We're having roast turkey. We're having the old Christmas dinner again. You will remember I had a Christmas dinner in November. And I explained the reasons why for that. We had some friends round. We were then planning to stay home for Christmas. And the dog had to be put down just before Christmas. So we decided to just go up to Scotland to get away from it all, Sam and I. Well, I had ordered off an FTS member, actually, Adam, who he lives up here now, but he's from the West Country. Good lad, Adam. When I first met Adam, he gave me a great bit of football knowledge. I met him in a hotel bar in Birmingham, NEC, and he said, never met him before, sat down talking a nice to meet you to talk about trade, and he said, do you trade Holland? I said, yeah, sometimes not my favourite league. You know, all games kick off at 7 o'clock on a Friday with the French League 2. But, yeah, it's a good league to trade. Lots of goals in Holland. Yeah, that was his flipping, that was it. Brilliant. You see, this is how people get themselves in trouble. But we've become good mates. He's a good lad, Adam, really nice guy. But he's from Taunton area originally, his family are West Country. So he was going down before Christmas. You know, as a turkey farmer. And I had ordered a turkey for us for Christmas because we were originally going to have 8-10 people. So he rang me up when the dog put down. He said, what are you going to do about this turkey? I said, well, I don't want to leave you out of pocket. I said, I'll pay you for it. And I'll have it. And I met him in a clandestine meeting on the M25 about 3 or 4 weeks ago to pick this thing up. Massive, great flipping thing it is. And I thought, before all this started, I will have another Christmas dinner. Well, I'll invite some friends and we'll have like a spring Christmas dinner. But obviously we're not able to do that now. And this turkey's sat in the freezer. So I said to Sam, I'm cooking it, the turkey. We'll have a roast turkey dinner on Sunday. And then we can have a turkey curry Monday, turkey pancakes Tuesday, turkey and bubble and squeak Wednesday. We'll have enough turkey to keep us going for a week. So yeah, so tomorrow it's Christmas dinner time again. Do it all again. Me, Sam and Jack. I mean, this turkey's flipping massive. I didn't realise how big it was, Adam, till I took it out. I know he'll be listening. And while I'm talking about Adam, he is, and I know people say, oh, bloody hell, government should support this, but he's raising money for the NHS. He's got some friends in the NHS. He did one GoFundMe the other day, which I didn't mention, and we put money in and contributed to make some money for supply of gloves, and this one here is again for latex gloves for the Royal London Hospital. So they're trying to get lots of stuff built using 3D printers and all sorts, so he's really trying to help out. So I will put the link on Twitter. It's just for PPE stuff and gloves. And if anybody, you know, it's one of those, every little helps. I understand everybody is in hardships, but even if you can give a quid, 2 quid, 5 quid through the link on Twitter, it will just help in this time. You know, you always find there's people worse off than you. No obligation, just literally mentioning it if you can. So that link will be on Twitter underneath the podcast. I'll put it on the website in the comment under the podcast as well. And if you can do anything, then do for one of our fellow FTS members, Adam, who supplied me with a turkey and is helping the NHS. He is a really, really nice guy. And while we're on food, I'm going to go vegan. We're going to go, well, vegetarian, but we're going to go vegan because the first part of this and I had a conversation. This is a, when you end up in situations like this, you end up having conversations with people on WhatsApp about all sorts. I had a conversation with FTS members the other day about Worcester sauce, believe it or not. And I like Worcester sauce, but they were putting it in mails that they shouldn't put it in. But this does require some Worcester sauce. But then you're going to say, well, Worcester sauce isn't vegetarian because it's got anchovies and whatever in it. So the first part of this recipe is I'm going to teach you how to make some vegetarian Worcester sauce, and then we're going to make a little mushroom stroganoff. So for the vegetarian Worcester sauce, you need some apple cider vinegar. You can get it anywhere. About 400 millilitres of that. About 50 to 60 millilitres of soy sauce, 50 grams of brown sugar, a light brown sugar, teaspoon of ginger, ground ginger, teaspoon of mustard powder, you know, just the Coleman's mustard powder, teaspoon of onion powder, don't have to put that in, but if you can get it, crush a clove of garlic, half a teaspoon of cinnamon, put in a good dollop of black pepper and a little bit of salt, because the soy sauce will have salt, and if you lose a low salt one, then a bit more salt in with the seasoning. Get it all in a pan, saucepan, just put it all in a pan, mix it together and bring that to the boil, cook it for about 20 minutes. Strain it then through a sieve, so you get all the bits out of the garlic, this, that and the other, and you've got your own vegan Worcester sauce that you can now use for, put it in the fridge, it'll last 2-3 months. So apple cider vinegar, soy sauce, light brown sugar, ginger, mustard powder, onion powder if you've got it, don't worry too much if you haven't, clover garlic, small tea, half a teaspoon of cinnamon, load of pepper, a bit of salt if you're using, well, a bit of salt anyway, but if you're using low salt soy sauce, then a bit more, all in a pan, boil it up for about 20 minutes, and you've got your own Worcester sauce, and now you can make your stroganoff. So stroganoff, you need an onion, decent sized onion, a couple of teaspoons of olive oil, get the onion in, saute it off, medium heat, don't burn it, don't colour it, just want it softened up. Once that's softened, a couple of garlic cloves again, crushed if possible, if not then really finely chop them. Teaspoon of paprika, get that in, give it another minute, and then add 300, 400 grams of mushrooms, doesn't really matter, they're going to shrink down, load of mushrooms, try and mix it up a bit, button mushrooms, chestnut mushrooms, if you want to go, get some sort of woodland mushrooms, whatever it may be, wild mushrooms, more variety the better it is, but definitely get some chestnuts in there, they give it a nice flavour. So get those in, cook them for about 5 minutes till they're softened and coloured up, then pour in 150ml of vegetable stock, and remember this is vegetarian, so if you wanted to make the non-vegetarian you could use beef stock, but for vegetarians, vegetable stock, and then your Worcester sauce alternative, 1 tablespoon of that. So again, if you're making a, if you're not a vegetarian and you want to try it, you can make it with normal Worcester sauce. Vegetarians, vegans can use my Worcester sauce I've just told you. Put that in, tablespoon of that, tablespoon of 2 tablespoons, sorry, of soured cream. Stir all that round. Cook it literally for about another 5 minutes because you've cooked the mushrooms and the onion anyway. And then serve that with rice with, again, a load of roughly chopped flat-leaf parsley on top. And you've got yourself a nice vegetarian mushroom stroganoff. Absolutely beautiful. B-E-A-utiful. Gary yesterday made the tagine I mentioned earlier in the week. Mate sent me a little video of his kids saying it's fantastic. Empty plates. This is what it's about. See, people say, what's he doing bloody recipes for? We're in strange old times and I love me food. It's another way to spend an afternoon, particularly if you've got kids and things. Cook with them. Teach them how to cook. How many kids can't cook? You know, the fucking first point of call is Deliveroo. Get your kids in the kitchen. Teach them the basics. It's a fantastic time to do it. So there you go. Mushroom stroganoff. And with your own how to make Worcester sauce. See? Don't have to buy it. Right, what else we got? We've done book of the day. We've done the virus. We've done the recipes. Joke of the day. We need a joke of the day, don't we? Joke of the day. Why did the scarecrow win an award? Because he was outstanding in his field. Look at that. That's a good one, isn't it? That one is a good one. You're all going to go around telling your flipping parents and that one there. When you're on the phone calls later, the weekend phone calls, FaceTimes, house party, get on house party, get people contacted, that joke will definitely come out. Disgusting yesterday, wasn't it? Load of food in bins. I told you tonight on the podcast, and then you see the pictures of it. We are a horrible, horrible race. We really are. Fucking so much food must have been thrown away yesterday and over this next few days. It's just disgusting. It's absolute disgraceful. Right, I've done that. Done my Christmas dinner. You want stat of the day, didn't you? Stat of the day. Where is the stat of the day? While I'm on the stat of the day, I don't know when it was, about a week, 10 days ago, I mentioned some looking at the coaching. I'm not just sitting on my ass. We've been doing a ton of Excel work, and I've got Scott helping me. I've had Suggsy helping me. And one of my one-to-one members, Dave, and I have had calls and chats just looking at how I do things, because I've never really taken this with any sort of, you know, it's all been a bit fly-by as people have asked for things, I've done things. So I've done some videos, obviously, if you've seen, but actually get some structured training. So we've created a couple of courses initially, which are only for a handful of people, but what we sort of call accelerating to do this on your own. Had a few queries, and Dave's been dealing with that while I've been dealing with the content. I'm going to get those up and running, or we're going to get those up and running over pretty much sort of April onwards, so end of this week coming, beginning of the next week through. So if anybody is interested in them that hasn't done so, email dave@ftsincome.co.uk, only if you're serious. This isn't a I wonder what they're doing thing. It was literally just going to take 5, 6, 7 people through these courses. We've got a couple that we've designed now, which will all depend on your ability to be available, your trading banks, this, that and the other. But if anybody is interested, email dave@ftsincome.co.uk over this weekend, and he will get back to you. He'll copy me in, so if there's anything that, you know, I need to comment on, I will do. It's not just, oh, he's doing that, and we're just literally splitting it at the minute so I can get the course sorted out and how we're going to go about it. And he's doing the admin side, if you like, for the minute. But he's been through trading himself, so he's going to sit in on sessions. We're going to have some webinars. We're going to have some live trading sessions at the end when football starts. So the idea is to build up and get you ready for those. But yeah, as I say, if people are interested, exploratory at the minute, email Dave. I'm going to continue putting that together this week, and it will literally be, you know, once I've done it, once we get to Wednesday, that'll be it done. We'll be taking the few people that we've got, and that's it. And they may well then come back next year, but my priority will be just getting the structure and that sorted out. So if you're interested, email dave@ftsincome.co.uk and he will liaise with you over this weekend. Just mentioning it, you don't have to do it, of course, as always. Right, stat of the day. I think some people are enjoying the videos and things. I'm going to give you a couple of negative stats here today. I've now switched to the 2.5 goal sheet. See, if you saw on the video, I've done a video I did on match odds, then the one I posted yesterday. I posted another video up yesterday on the FTS blog about data correction and showing one of my sheets, and that was the 3.5 goal. I've given you some first half goal stats, gone now into what is, you know, you've heard me say on the podcast, I'm not a massive fan of both teams to score, and I'm not, and I, and the 2.5 is a tough market because they're almost 50-50 markets if you take them, you know, average pricing out. Tough markets, accurate markets, tough markets to beat. So I've spent a lot of time modelling on the 2.5 through this year, trying to find ways, and from that led into both teams to score, which is something I'll be doing when football starts back up. And my mate Suggsy, to be fair, is doing a ton of work on that at the minute. And I am going to give him credit. I normally dig him out, but he's been absolutely fantastic, and obviously having the time to do it. But I'm going to give you a... the 2.5 is really interesting, and I'm just going to give you a stat here. The English Championship, for example, you spot, when you run the sheets like I run them, you just spot absolute anomalies. And the English Championship laying under 2.5 goals between 2.02 and 2.1, so laying under 2.5. In effect, same bets backing over. If you're backing over, you're laying under, and vice versa. Laying under 2.5 between 2.02 and 2.1 has lost 43 points on its own, just in that price bracket, just absolutely being decimated. 173 bets and lost 43 points. When you run the report for it, there's barely a winning month. Over the last however many months that is, out of 26 months, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 of them have been losing months, and the winning months, 0.67 points, 0.6 points, 0.49 points. You just get absolutely decimated laying under 2.5 goals in that price bracket in the championship. So again, that would be one that I would just look to avoid. I'd be, if I was looking at that bet, then I would be looking for, you know, the equivalent backing over, because it's obviously slightly different pricing, is minus 30 points. So you just, if I was looking in effect to back over 2.5 goals in the championship, round about the even money mark, sort of, you know, 1.95, 2.1, or laying under backing over, I would be avoiding it like the plague. I mean, trying to back over 2.5 goals in the championship from 1.6, I can go even lower, anything really up to 2.1, trying to back under just gets absolutely, trying to back over gets absolutely pasted. It just gets absolutely pasted. I've gone right down on my graph. I'm looking at it now. I've gone right down to 1.42 up to 2.1. There's not one price band in there that wins when you're breaking them down into 10 ticks. There's just not one that wins. It gets absolutely pasted back in overs in the championship. Less than 2.1. So, you know, when you see these games, leads versus whatever, 1.8, 1.7, I would be running for the hills personally, or trying to find a really good reason, because when you've got that sort of performance, you know, that's over minus, that's minus 60 odd points, that is, back in the overs version from those prices. What though then do you spot? Obviously, go bigger than that. So when you've got an over 2.5 in the championship, between 2.1 upwards, going up to 2.5, 2.6, that then wins 40, 50 points. So that's where I would look. So again, it's this contra opinion, where, you know, people will look at exact games. I'm talking about Leeds, Preston, whatever. Oh, I'm backing overs here. It actually is a league you want to be getting involved in the big prices. So, as I say, using the negative squares, I ran this report last night ready for this podcast, and that glaring red square, if anybody's seen the videos and seen the heat map, I mean, it's like glowing red. It's like a boil in the middle of the page, under 2.5 laying in the championship. But then backing over at bigger prices is nicely profitable. So, again, that's the way I sort of can look at it. As I keep saying, there's more research needed, but as an overview, instantly, with particularly the heat map set up, it just leaps out at me at flipping, dearie me, avoid that like the plague. So that is your stat of the day. In the championship, flat, laying under 2.5, 2.02 to 2.1 is just a flat stat, loses 43 points. Backing overs, which is a similar bet. If you're laying under, you're saying it's going to be over. So backing overs, anything really below 2.1 in the championship is an absolute disaster over the last 3 years. If you want to get involved, backing overs in the championship. And you'll hear me say, when I sort of say, and I might give one of these, and I'll say something like, I don't know, Huddersfield versus Stoke. Has got value in the price. That's the games where it is 2.3, 2.4, and you do a little bit more research and you actually see that price is offering great value. via, you know, looking at my Poisson sheets and the other mathematical stuff I've got running. And those are the sort of things you've heard me say on the podcast over the years with regards to that. And again, at that price, if you're going in 2.1 upwards, you can drip it in that first 10-15 minutes and they're trading opportunities. So, you know, again, it's one of those bets that one goal you can remove your liability and then move yourself along from there. But the 2.02 sort of up to 5 has been a nicely profitable area in the championship, converse to the unders. I hope I've made sense there. I feel I've been talking for a long time there, but I hope that all makes sense to you. Right, get yourselves off and have a little bit of La Bamba. Get it on. We've all got something. Spotify, we can get a free trial to something. Get yourself dancing around the house. Get a little bit of excitement into the house. These are strange old times, and I know we're getting to the stage now. I know, you know, poor old Sam's, what, 4 or 5 days into 12 weeks. And I'm seeing it with her already, how hard this is. So get yourselves in there. Get yourself sorted out. And a little bit of La Bamba, dancing around the house. Pick your kids up. Jump around with them. Get your pets. Do it all. You'll feel much better for it. Trust me. You might feel a bit of a fool, but nobody really cares. As I told you before, I don't give a shit what people think about me. That's why I sing this. See, you can all slate me off, but you're coming round and you're all thinking it's a bit better. I was getting positive reviews, I'm telling you, selling out the O2. As I keep saying, as it does get harder, FTS Connect. Do not be shy. Anybody who wants to talk to people, be connected with people, do let us know. We've got to help each other all get through this through numerous things. It's nothing really to do with money, viruses, food or anything. It's going to be a war of attrition. Just keep insane. So do feel free to use us as a hub to sort of connect people. We've all got things in common. You know, I talk to Suggsy every single day. I have my little 5-10 minute phone call. I try and phone Art every day, check he's all right. But I said to Suggsy last night, we've got these 3 or 4 WhatsApp groups. A lot of it's a load of old nonsense, you know, the gifts and this, that and the other. But it just gives you a 2 minute release. You know, the Shaz this morning sent me the Coronavirus Rhapsody. It's a version of the Queen song, 5 minutes long. It's very good. It's quite entertaining. It just enables you to switch off for 5 minutes from the constant battering of what's going on with this virus. So do feel free to give us a shout. I'm going to keep going. We are looming in on 250,000 downloads of this podcast since it started. That tells you how mad the human race is, because I talk a load of old twaddle. But as always, I appreciate you all listening. Have a lovely Saturday. This has been a party political broadcast on behalf of the FTS party. Enjoy your day, and I will speak to you all tomorrow.